Wednesday, May 29th, 2024. You are listening to the Daily Dose Sports Podcast, and I am your host, Clint Daly, coming to you from the Mile High City here in Denver, Colorado, and we are back for another week of talking sports with a dose of common sense. Hey, happy Wednesday to you. Hope your week is off to a strong start. Hope all in your world is well, and that your family, your friends, you're all staying strong, and you are all staying healthy right now. And yes, we are back after taking a week off to get some much-needed rest and some much-needed relaxation. Yes, as we do many years, I packed up the family. We went down to Mexico. We spent some time with some other family and some friends, and, you know, we just did absolutely nothing for a few days. I'm not going to lie. It was amazing. And I honestly didn't really want to come back all that much. It was so nice just to sit, to rest, to have a drink, to soak in the sun, just to enjoy some quiet time. We haven't had a whole lot of that lately, at least here at the Daily Dose. And it was good to take that break. It was nice. It was amazing. I really didn't. I wanted to kind of stay down there. And then we came back and we had Memorial Day weekend upon our return. And I hope that you were able to enjoy your Memorial Day weekend as well. And now we are all on that short week. Of course, I do want to take this moment to thank all of our veterans who have served our country. And, you know, we want to remember those who paid the ultimate price for the freedoms that we enjoy every single day in this country. I hope that you were able to enjoy the weekend. I hope you were able to reflect on those who have served. And if you are in the United States, you know, think about those freedoms that we enjoy. We kind of take them for granted, but we are truly, truly blessed because some other people stepped up and made the ultimate sacrifice. And I also hope that, you know, maybe you did get a good deal on whatever appliances that you might have been on the market for as well. But we are happy to be back. Hope you enjoyed a best of the Daily Dose last week. Hey, before we jump in, just want to remind you, be sure you do stop by DailyDoseSports.com every week. Check out the new things we have going on over there. We have new articles going up every week. In fact, this week, talked a little bit about the NBA playoffs and how they're actually kind of reflecting on our Denver Nuggets here in my home city. But we do have links to the podcast. We do have links to the video. And yes, we have links to Daily Dose gear. If you need a t-shirt, a sweatshirt, a hoodie, be sure you're stopping by DailyDoseSports.com and seeing what we have going on over there. Hey, today on the show, like I said, we were out for a week and we missed a number of big stories in the world of sports. And while you may hear that and your first thought might be, well, I've already heard those stories. Believe me, I get it. But we also get this chance to kind of sit and think about some of the things that went on in sports and give you some actual insight that we've actually, you know, considered and learned instead of just giving you those silly hot takes that you get from so many sports networks. We're going to be getting to what we learned here in just a few minutes. But first, we do have a little bit of sports news today, and we will be talking some NBA playoffs a little bit later in the show. But of course, basketball legend Bill Walton, who led the UCLA Bruins to two national titles before winning two NBA championships, passed away earlier this week at the age of 71 after a prolonged battle with cancer. The NBA issued a statement saying that Walton had passed on Monday while surrounded by his family. You know, people don't really remember it that well, but Bill Walton was the NBA's MVP back in the 77-78 season. He was a member of both the NBA's 50th and 75th anniversary teams. And that all came after a college career where he was a two-time champion at UCLA and a three-time National Player of the Year while playing for iconic coach John Wooden. Walton would go on to be the first overall pick of the 1974 NBA draft by the Portland Trailblazers. And you know, Bill Walton, he kind of played a game at that era that is a little bit reminiscent of what we are seeing now. A big guy that could pass and see the floor and shoot and score and hurt you in a number of different ways. You know, he averaged a double-double in his career. He was a two-time All-Star. He led the NBA in rebounding and blocks in 77. And he was the league's sixth man of the year in 1986 when he kind of took a step back and knew physically he couldn't do it, but played on one of the greatest NBA teams ever while he was with the Boston Celtics. But like I said, unfortunately, Bill Walton suffered from a number of back and foot injuries. And as a result, he was never quite able to really reach his full potential as a pro. But like I said, Bill Walton was ultra talented and he had a passion for the game. And Walton would go on to be a basketball announcer and broadcaster, and you could feel that passion. It came through in his broadcast. He loved the game. He loved the coaches. He loved the players. He loved the fans. Bill Walton was a guy that just had so much passion for life and so much passion for the game of basketball. The basketball world will miss Walton's love for the game and its participants. And California weed dispensaries will miss his dedication to their product. Moving over to Major League Baseball, the Atlanta Braves got some bad news this week when they found out that reigning National League MVP Ronald Acuña Jr. is going to miss the remainder of the season. He blew his ACL in a game against the Pittsburgh Pirates on Sunday. Acuña's non-contact injury occurred as he started with a lead on second base, and then he kind of had to hit the brakes at third, and when he did, he bent his left knee in a very awkward manner. He left the game in the first inning after spending quite a bit of time on the ground. He would eventually walk off unassisted, but the bad news was still to come. The left ACL is blown. Now remember, he actually previously also blew his right ACL back in 2021. You do wonder, is he ever going to get back to being who he was physically? Because that is awful tough to come back from. The Braves released a statement on Acuña's injury, revealing that the MRA came back with a fully torn ACL. He will undergo surgery. They have not announced exactly when that will be, but he will miss the remainder of the 2024 season. So, is that how this MLB season is going to go? I mean, the Los Angeles Dodgers have a ridiculously stacked roster of all-stars. They are head and shoulders above everyone else in the talent department. And the one team from their league that we feel like maybe might possibly have a shot at actually beating them in the postseason now has an injury to its best player. Is that just how this year is going to go? So here's my question. How are the Dodgers going to manage to screw this up? Because we know that they usually do, but how? The table is set. This should be an easy walk in the park for the Dodgers to win it all, but that's not how things go. They like to keep us on the edge of our seat, and I just have a feeling they're going to do it again. Hey, a lot of people are doubting you, Dodgers. I have faith in you. I know you can still come up with a way to disappoint your fans. You can still come up with a way to overcome that massive payroll and disappoint everyone in the process. Keep your head down and focus, LA. You can do this. One final story to hit this week, and of course, Iron Mike Tyson is scheduled for that highly anticipated fight against Jake Paul coming on July 20th. Iron Mike will be 58 years old when he steps into the ring against Paul, who will be less than half of his age at just 27. Doesn't that seem kind of crazy? I mean, Mike is almost 60. And this seems like yet another stupid circus event that is, I don't know, preying on the low IQ of current fight fans that think this is what boxing actually is. And, you know, we kind of look at it and we say, okay, this is dumb. What is the point of this? This doesn't even make any sense. No one's going to want to watch this. And then you see Mike Tyson in like a TikTok video, and he is throwing heaters, and you're like, you know, maybe he will get in the ring and really pummel Jake Paul, which is what we all want to see, right? Maybe Tyson will still bring it. Maybe he can still pack a punch. Well, I'm telling you, don't get your hopes up. Because it seems, Mike suffered a medical issue during a cross-country flight over the weekend going from Miami to Los Angeles. Paramedics reportedly boarded the plane as it landed following the medical scare. And according to a Tyson representative who spoke to the New York Post, the medical scare was caused by an ulcer flare shortly before landing. Here's what Tyson's representative had to say. Thankfully, Mr. Tyson is doing great. He became nauseous and dizzy due to an ulcer flare-up about 30 minutes before landing. He is appreciative to the medical staff that were there to help him. Let me see if I have this straight. Dude is having ulcerative flare-ups on an airline flight, and we should believe that he is going to get into a ring with a guy 30 years younger and what, outbox him? Here's a question you might not want to think about. What if, just saying, what if Mike Tyson gets punched in the midsection? I mean, that does happen in these events, right? You know I say this about pretty much every single fight that has taken place over the last, my goodness, 10 to 15 years. But I'm telling you this right now. If you actually pay money for this debacle, you're an absolute sucker. Tyson might have, I don't know, an osteoporosis outbreak and not be able to lift his arms. This is such a bad idea. I can't even believe this is being allowed to happen. A 60-year-old man is going to get repetitively hit in his head. What about this makes any sense? Oh, that's right. It's boxing. It makes perfect sense for that filthy, dumb sport. Okay, coming back. There have been a number of stories that have taken place over the last week or so. And after not doing a show last week, we have formed some, you know, new opinions on a few of these stories. We're going to be discussing what we have learned over the past week from the NBA. Believe it or not, the WNBA, the NHL, the NFL, and even some collegiate athletics when we get back. So let's start out with a few things that we have learned over the past week or so since, like I said, we took a little bit of time on vacation. And let's start off in the NBA, where the NBA playoffs are rolling along and the NBA finals are basically here. And I have one observation on that eastern side of the league. And that is, we have learned that the Boston Celtics have had the easiest path to the NBA finals probably since LeBron James was in Cleveland. So far, the Celtics have faced the number 8 seeded Miami Heat, who went 46-36 this year. Well, that doesn't sound that bad, right? But also remember that Boston faced that Miami team without Jimmy Butler, without Josh Richardson, without Terry Rozier, and that Patty Mills and Jaime Jaquez both played very limited minutes because of injuries as well. Okay, big deal. That's the first round. The Celtics won in 5 games. Then, in the second round, they played the number 4 seed Cleveland Cavaliers, who had somehow slipped past a very average Orlando Magic squad in the first round. Okay, so the Cavs come into the series, and they actually split the first 2 games. They steal game 2 on the road in Boston because Donovan Mitchell goes crazy for 29 points. Well, maybe this will be a series. But then the Cavs lost Mitchell with a calf strain in game 3, and he was done for the series. Plus, Jared Allen was all banged up, and the Celtics advanced in 5 games. Okay, second round. Then Boston went to the Eastern Conference Finals, where they met the Indiana Pacers, and you'll never guess what happened there. That's right. The Pacers lost leading scorer Tyrese Haliburton to a hamstring injury, and let's be honest, the Pacers aren't that impressive with Haliburton. So without him, they really have nothing. Hey, you play who is on your schedule. The Celtics don't have to apologize for beating these teams, but this has been a very soft playoff schedule for Boston. Now, does that mean they can't win the NBA Finals? No, not at all. In fact, they should win. They have been the best team all year. They should be very well rested playing against that terrible competition that they faced. But I also do think they're going to be tested in these finals like they have not been tested yet in this postseason. The Boston Celtics have had a really, really easy path so far. Before we get to the Western side, you might be wondering what in the world happened to my Denver Nuggets in their quest to defend their NBA championship. The Nuggets were involved in a wild series with the Minnesota Timberwolves in the conference semifinals. The Wolves came to Denver and won games 1 and 2. Well, this might be a sweep at this rate. But then the Nuggets rallied. They returned the favor. They won 3 games in a row. Hey, they take the series lead back. They might still get this. Minnesota scorched the Nuggets in game 6, which, by the way, I think might have been the beginning of the end. And then it all came down to game 7 in Denver. Well, the Nuggets took a 20-point lead at one point in the third quarter. And then they managed to lose that deciding game at home by double digits, getting outscored something like 60-32 in the last quarter and a half. So what in the world happened to my Denver Nuggets? Well, we learned a few things about that team in this postseason. We learned that they don't have enough depth just yet. Their bench is still very, very young and very inexperienced. And at times, they are talented and okay, and at times, they kind of fall asleep and don't do a whole lot. We learned that some key players did not step up. And I'm not talking about Nikola Jokic. I am looking right at you, Aaron Gordon, Michael Porter Jr., and at times, even Jamal Murray, although Jamal does usually show up in crunch time. But AG and Michael Porter, you kind of went MIA on us. But the one thing I really learned about the Denver Nuggets in that series was that they're soft. And that, to me, is the worst thing you can ever say about a team. You're soft. You're not tough enough. Hey, when the outside shots were falling, the Nuggets were absolutely dominant. But remember one thing. Getting outside shots is easy. You can always get outside shots. I mean, I can't even play anymore. I could go in the NBA and get an outside shot off. That isn't hard. Making them can be tough. And getting point paints demands physicality. Because you have to post up. You have to battle. You have to be strong inside. And when those outside shots are not falling, it can also lead to transition points for your opponents. And that is exactly what happened. The Nuggets transition defense was soft. They didn't have enough rim protectors. They couldn't pressure the perimeter game and the three-point shooters and also get to the paint and defend the rim. And they settled for easy jump shots instead of battling and being tougher. They couldn't get clutch rebounds when they had to have them in that deciding game. Look, I don't know that the Nuggets need to rebuild or anything, but they've got to get more depth. They've got to get tougher. And that to me is the biggest thing that cost the 2024 Denver Nuggets. They were soft. I didn't think that would be the case. I thought that would be a little bit tougher. They were last year. This year, they definitely missed some people stepping up. Okay, let's move on to the Western side of the NBA playoffs. And let's go to those Minnesota Timberwolves who advanced to face the Dallas Mavericks in the conference finals. But we have learned that somehow, and I can't really believe I'm saying this, the gamble that the Mavericks made to pair Kyrie Irving with Luka Doncic, it's working. Hey, we have known for quite a while that we'll be flat. I mean, Kyrie Irving has been very talented. Hey, we've known that since high school. But it was also no secret that he didn't always play well with others. Hey, he bristled at being number 2 to LeBron James in Cleveland. He flat out quit on both Boston and Brooklyn, and we kind of figured this would just be more the same. Kyrie will go out and put up some flashy stats, he always does, but he'll disappear in the biggest moments, you can't count on him, and he'll end up dragging Luka and the Mavericks down to his level. And you know what? That's exactly what happened last year. This year, things have been different. Now, maybe it is just the fact that Luka won't tolerate anything less. I don't know. But this team is so much better than I expected them to be. The Dallas Mavericks should eventually still be moving on to the NBA Finals, and they are an absolute title contender to win it all. Never saw that coming. And you know, we should be in for a very interesting and very competitive NBA Finals. The Celtics have been the best team all year. The Mavericks have been absolutely dominant in the postseason. And let's not forget that whole storyline of Kyrie Irving going back to Boston, a place where he kind of just basically quit and the fans hate his guts. Hey, this actually might be a pretty fun matchup in the NBA Finals. Of course, the Oklahoma City Thunder were the number one seed in the Western Conference. And we know that the Mavericks knocked them out in six games. But we did learn that the NBA has now officially ended their investigation into Thunder guard Josh Giddey, stemming from allegations that he had previously engaged in a relationship with a minor. Yuck. Yeah. The league's decision was announced last week, and they stated that there just wasn't enough evidence and that they are clearing Giddey of any culpability. According to the Newport Beach Police, which launched their investigation last year, they found no corroborating evidence of Giddey's involvement with a minor. Now, there were rumors out on social media. They had photos showcasing Giddey with a young blonde woman. But when the details came out, we found out that he thought she was 19 after meeting her at an 18 and over nightclub. And then when he discovered her underage status, he apparently ended communications with her. Hey, one, good for him. I'm glad we didn't find out something horrible. And then we also got some insight into her when she refused to cooperate with the police. Okay, so maybe she was just kind of shady to begin with. Well, that's better than the alternative. I would rather not find out we have NBA players messing around with underage girls. So it seems that rumors that Josh Giddey being the white Diddy were actually false, and this guy can now go back to getting his career back on track. We learned that NBA officials, we always suspected it. No, they really do hate Chris Paul. I'm not sure if you saw this, but The Athletic posted a story about a week ago, and on it, NBA official Scott Foster was talking about the 2024 NBA playoffs. Well, on a podcast interview, NBA ref Bill Spooner stepped in with his take on how Scott Foster and Chris Paul have never gotten along very well. And Spooner did not hold back. He took a shot at CP3 for being what he called an image cultivator, and that he is always being petty when officiating doesn't go his way. Hey, we knew, like I said, that refs hate Chris Paul. He's one of the biggest whiners in the history of the league. But I'll be honest, I was kind of surprised that both Foster and Spooner admitted it. Here is a quote directly from Spooner. "I'm going to tell you, and I know you're recording me, but I get asked all the time, who are some of the tough guys, some of the bad guys? And when I tell them that Chris Paul, in my 32 years in the league, was one of the biggest a-holes I ever dealt with, they say, not Rasheed Wallace or someone else. Nope, nothing like Chris Paul. And they're like, oh, he seems like such a nice guy. And I say, yeah, he's a great image cultivator. Wow. Didn't pull any punches, did he? Look, I hate the officiating in the NBA. I also hate the way that NBA players are allowed to intentionally try to manipulate NBA officials. You know, it doesn't have to be one-sided. I think both sides are jerks. Chris Paul's a jerk. Oh, and NBA officials are really bad at their job. We also learned that over in the WNBA, hey, she might be bringing unprecedented excitement to their league, but folks in that league hate rookie guard Caitlin Clark. Angel Reese has taken shots at Clark and her traveling accommodations. Sports media personality Jemele Hill says it's all bad because Clark is white. A player on some team, no idea who, named Aja Wilson says everyone hates Clark because veteran players have been in that league for years without recognition, and now people are tuning in only because of Clark, and the rest of the league resents that. Clark has even been the recipient of some very physical play and a few instances that kind of looked like she got a foul, but the officials completely ignored it. Okay, I know a lot is being made about this, but understand this. This happens every single year in the NBA. Magic Johnson went through this. Larry Bird, Michael Jordan, LeBron James. It happens all the time. All the young players getting the attention from the veterans in every single sport since the beginning of time have gone through this. It's not just basketball specific. Hey, Goliath didn't want to hear about that young punk named David. What about all my trophies? What about all the people that I've already killed? I'm not sure this is about the WNBA. I'm not sure this is racist, but this is where this gets crazy for me. Because the WNBA players have complained forever about no one watching. Now a few people are watching. You know, you might want to shut up and enjoy it. Oh, and also, trust me on this, you don't want Caitlin Clark getting hurt. Hey, I get it. She's a rookie. You're going to beat her up a little bit. And that's fine. You can beat her up a little bit. I'm just saying, if she actually does get hurt, you're going to be back to flying JetBlue. You're going to be back to staying at the Motel 6. You don't have to like her, but you better protect her on some level, because that league is a money hemorrhaging nightmare tax write-off for the NBA. You might want to keep your complaining to a minimum. You don't make any money. If she's making you a tiny bit of money, you might want to shut up and take it. Okay, let's move over to hockey. Let's move over to the Stanley Cup playoffs in the NHL, where we learned for the first time since back in the early 90s, America's hat, the country of Canada, actually has at least some chance to win the Stanley Cup. Okay, the top seeds in the East, the New York Rangers and the Florida Panthers, have advanced to the conference finals. They are playing in a very entertaining series. But over in the West, the Dallas Stars are facing the Edmonton Oilers, and Canada actually has at least a chance of winning the championship in the sport they care more about than anything else. Of course, Edmonton has maybe the most dangerous player in the league with Connor McDavid, who is just an absolute monster, but it's not just him. Hey, the Oilers have a ton of talent on that roster. Having said that, this won't be easy for those maple syrup chugging, denim wearing moose jockeys, because the Dallas Stars have a ton of depth and a very good goaltender, and that Eastern champion will not be a pushover if Edmonton does somehow beat Dallas. But hey, Canada has a chance to win their first Stanley Cup in over 30 years. You better enjoy it while it lasts. It might not last that much longer. You know, moving over to auto racing, we don't talk a lot of auto racing here on the Dose, but we learned that it doesn't happen very often, but we actually saw some history being made at the 108th running of the Indy 500 on Sunday. For one, the race had like a 4-hour rain delay in the morning. Okay, that actually isn't uncommon. But then we had a crash-filled race that ran to completion. Okay, well, that means it didn't end until nearly 8 p.m. local time. By that time, the front straightaway was mostly dark, and the track temperatures were wreaking havoc on the car's handling. You could see them wiggle in every turn. The race, though, was highly competitive. And then we got to see some more history, because Joseph Newgarden won back-to-back Indy 500s for just the sixth time in the history of that race. You know, the last time we had a repeat winner was when Helio Castroneves won back-to-backs clear back in 2001 and 2002. And before that, we go clear back to Al Unser in 1970 and 1971. It doesn't happen often. Bill Vukovic did it in 53 and 54. Maury Rose in 47 and 48. And Wilbur Shaw in 39 and 40. Hey, I know that the Indy 500 does not have the national cachet that it used to have.
Well, now it's not going to be original. It's going to lose all its cachet.
I don't know how much cachet it had to begin with.
Oh, it's got cachet, baby. It's got cachet up the yin-yang.
But it was kind of cool to see some history being made. And Joseph Newgarden did an amazing job holding on for the win. He actually got passed on the final lap and then came back and retook the lead to win at the checkered flag. Pretty entertaining Indy 500 once it did finally get started. Let's move over to the NFL, where we learned that Netflix will exclusively carry this year's Christmas Day slate of games. They now have a 3-year media rights agreement. Yeah, that's pretty big. The league gave Netflix the Kansas City Chiefs versus Pittsburgh Steelers game and the Baltimore Ravens versus Houston Texans game as the two Christmas matchups this season. That means we're going to have three of the best quarterbacks in the league with Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, and CJ Stroud playing on Christmas Day. Oh, and also maybe Russell Wilson or whatever. And again, one of the most recognized brands in the league with those Steelers. Hey, they are going to have a huge debut on NFL on Netflix. Netflix also benefits from the NFL already planting their flag on Christmas Day and crushing what used to be their day, the NBA, in recent years. You know, previously, the NBA kind of owned Christmas. The NFL would take Thanksgiving and they would kind of say, okay, NBA, you can have Christmas Day. Yeah, times have changed. Get this. This past Christmas, the NFL drew 10 times as many viewers as the NBA. Here are their ratings. Chiefs, Raiders on CBS, Giants, Eagles on Fox, Ravens, 49ers on ABC. They averaged in those games nearly 30 million viewers. That's pretty huge. Meanwhile, the NBA had Knicks Bucks on ESPN, Warriors Nuggets on ESPN and ABC, Lakers Celtics on ESPN and ABC, Heat Sixers on ESPN, and Mavericks Suns on ESPN. And those games averaged just under 3 million viewers per game. Hey, I'll be honest. Sometimes it's best to just throw in the towel. Just be Major League Baseball. Hey, you know what? We're going to play on Boxing Day instead of Christmas. Man, the NFL on Netflix is going to crush the NBA this year, and it will not be close. Remember, Netflix has more subscribers than any other streaming competitors. They say Netflix has around 260 million subscribers. Amazon Prime is the next close. They're only at 200 million. And not all Prime subscribers get that streaming content. This is going to be big. This is going to be a huge win for the NFL and for Netflix. Now, don't get me wrong. I absolutely hate it because you can't change the channel during commercials. But the NFL is going to win Christmas this year, and they're going to win big. You know, we also learned, staying in the NFL, that Kansas City Chiefs kicker Harrison Butker apparently is a hateful misogynist, because he said some things that people don't agree with at a college commencement at private Benedictine College a few weeks ago. During his commencement speech, he spoke out against Pride Month. He spoke out against President Biden's leadership during the COVID pandemic, and he spoke out on abortion. Butker also congratulated women at Benedictine receiving degrees, but said that many of them are going to end up finding more happiness from their families and their children than they ever will from their careers. Here's what Butker had to say. "I think it is you, the women, who have had the most diabolical lies told to you. Some of you may go on to successful careers in the world, but I would venture to guess that the majority of you are most excited about your marriage and the children that you will bring into this world. I can tell you that my beautiful wife would be the first to say that her life truly started when she started living her vocation as a wife and as a mother." Oh boy. Yeah. The NFL immediately condemned his speech. Taylor Swift fans hammered him. The mayor of Kansas City apologized on behalf of the city. And one Kansas City paper even tweeted out his address so that people could rain hate mail on him. This? For making a statement that people don't agree with it? Now, remember, this wasn't on company time. It wasn't like he did this prior to a game or anything. This was a commencement speech at a private Christian university. But man, people were not happy. There were even people asking for Butker's job, saying he should be fired for his hate speech. So, let me see if I have this right. People are fine with NFL players actually beating up women, but not having opinions about women? Seems a little odd. You know, if he had said the opposite, if he had said, women, you're being told you should just go have kids, go have a career, no one would have been mad. In fact, he would have been praised. But because people don't agree with his beliefs that he shared in a private ceremony, he should lose his job? Very odd era that we're living in right now on this planet. You know, we learned moving over to NCAA athletics that college athletics are changing. And I'm telling you, they're changing fast. The NCAA Board of Governors voted to enact a settlement that is going to see the organization put the House versus NCAA case to bed and will cost $2.77 billion in damages to be paid to plaintiffs. The money will actually be paid to athletes who were seeking retro pay for lost income from NIL and television funds that weren't in place prior to 2021. Yeah. I don't know how you get that back pay, but that's pretty amazing. The amount will be paid back over a 10-year period, and the settlement will also introduce a new form of payment for student athletes. In addition to monetary settlements, the approval by all conferences and the Board of Governors will also make revenue sharing in collegiate athletics. Huh. Now, it should be noted that schools do not have to participate, but some type of revenue sharing will most likely occur at every school across the country in some form. According to multiple sources, the plan is to have new revenue sharing models in place prior to the start of the 2025 season. Hey, this is big. This move is sending shockwaves throughout athletic departments across the country, because now you've got to put into place how you're going to pay that revenue sharing. And Title IX still has to be discussed as well. But paid athletes at the college ranks are here, and they're here to stay. And now it's just a matter of seeing who can afford to pay them. I'll say this. I believe this is just going to further serve to separate the haves and the have-nots in athletics. And eventually, we are heading toward the major sports making money and those athletes making money. But you know what else is going to happen? The majority of athletes, they're just going to get dropped completely. So you're going to pay for men's basketball. You're going to pay for football, obviously. You're going to pay maybe a little bit, I don't know, for baseball or something like that. Your track athletes, your soccer athletes, your softball athletes, your gymnastics athletes. Yeah, a lot of them, they're going to go away. And I don't mean go away in terms of making big paychecks. I say go away eventually, completely. It's going to be gone. We're going to look back and go, remember when schools used to carry a lot of sports? Yeah, they don't anymore. Why? Because they can't afford to. They're going to have to drop them. But remember, it's about what's best for the kids, right? That's what we keep hearing. I just don't always see evidence of that. Linking with that story is the bizarre story of Jaden Rashada. And we learned that Rashada is suing University of Florida head football coach Billy Napier. What? Really? Yeah. Rashada filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court in the Northern District of Florida, claiming that members of the Florida football staff, including Napier, lied to him on multiple occasions regarding his NIL deal with Florida Gators. Oh boy. The former director of NIL engagement down at Florida is also named in the lawsuit. And here's what this basically comes down to. Florida and all these colleges are getting into bed with these boosters. The boosters are making financial promises. And then when they don't actually live up to them, the athlete says, hey, wait a minute. Where's that money I was promised? What happened to that big cash payoff I was going to get? I mean, a booster said you were going to pay me, but that booster bailed out. Well, where's my money? I want my check. Yeah, this isn't good. This isn't good at all. Now, if you don't know, Rashada ended up getting out of Florida. He signed instead with Arizona State, and he is now enrolled at the University of Georgia. But forget the details. Forget all this stuff that might be kind of confusing. Focus on the broad story here from the lawsuit. A $13.85 million offer to a teenager bounced from one third-party booster to another, and then back to the first, and eventually a coach ends up getting sued, whatever. This is all kind of silly. But here's the thing. It's a nonsensical business model that we're talking about here in college athletics. We are going to start seeing more and more of these lawsuits. They're coming. Because these insane, shady boosters are promising the world to teenagers and then not delivering. Leaving who holding the bag? One, the kid, and two, the university. But remember, you're dealing with shady boosters. What do you expect? If you sleep with dogs, you might wake up to find that you have fleas. I'm telling you right now, this is just the beginning. It's going to get worse. Now, this will end up getting settled out of court. And yeah, it might put a little extra pressure on Napier to win in Gainesville, but that pressure's already there. But I'm telling you right now, we're going to have some insane deals. And we're going to have boosters get up and hide and say, no, I didn't really want to do that. And you're going to have some insane lawsuits coming. And maybe after we go through this weird time, maybe things will pull back in and some of these people will come to their senses and say, wait a minute, why are we promising teenagers millions of dollars? It doesn't always make sense. And then we'll see it reel back a little bit. Right now, we're in a high tide of nonsense and stupidity. We might see that pull back a little bit. And you know what's going to happen? I always say it. It'll probably be at the expense of the kids because it always is. Okay, coming back. My city of Denver is not going to be celebrating a championship anytime soon. Sorry, not happening. The Colorado Avalanche and the Denver Nuggets were both eliminated from the playoffs. The Colorado Rockies should probably be relegated to like the WNBA or something. And the Denver Broncos right now kind of feel like an expansion team. But I can't really complain. We just had a championship parade last year when the Denver Nuggets won the NBA championship. Well, today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is going to count down five cities that have not been nearly as lucky as mine. Now, as we do so many weeks here at the Daily Dose, we need to get over to our Daily Dose Top 5. Five! Like I said before the break, my hometown city of Denver just celebrated a championship parade last year at this same time. But hey, maybe you're not from Denver. Maybe you are listening in, I don't know, Los Angeles. Well, Los Angeles just celebrated a title in 2020 when the Dodgers won their title. Oh, and by the way, they had that goofy little bubble title with the Lakers that no one paid attention to. And you know, it might seem like quite a while since, say, the city of Boston had a championship. But do you realize both the Patriots and the Red Sox won a title in 2018? Yeah, not that long ago. And while the city of Dallas is hoping that the Mavericks can bring them a parade this year, because I think we all know the Cowboys haven't won anything since Bill Clinton was in office. But remember, the Texas Rangers, who are located just up the road in Arlington, just won a World Series a year ago. Yeah, not that long ago for Dallas either. Well, today, our Daily Dose Top 5 is counting down the top 5 cities with a major league franchise in one of the big sports that currently have the longest droughts without a championship. Hey, you may think your city has been waiting a while, but you might actually feel a little bit better after hearing our list today. Let's start off at number five. And we go to a city that has been painfully close to winning titles a few times, but they have also come up short many times. Because the Queen City of the West has now been waiting 34 long years to celebrate a championship. But they have been close, at least a little. The city of Cincinnati last celebrated a title clear back in 1990. Yeah, remember that? The Cincinnati Reds had guys by the name of Barry Larkin and Eric Davis and Chris Sabo, and they went and dominated and won a championship over Oakland. Of course, you might remember, the Cincinnati Bengals nearly won a title in 81 and 89 over the San Francisco 49ers, but they came up just a little short. And it was just 3 years ago, 2021, that the Bengals nearly pulled off an upset over the LA Rams in the Super Bowl. But instead, the city of Cincinnati has been waiting 34 long years for another championship parade. Doesn't look good either. The Reds are awful again this year. The Bengals are gonna be tough, but they've got some issues. The city of Cincinnati has a 34-year drought without a championship. And that brings them today on our list in at number five. So we arrive at number four. And we go to a city that might not be the first one to come to your mind when we talk about major league cities. I mean, this Mickey Mouse city only has a team in one of the big four American leagues. But then when you stop and you actually think about it, you realize that the city of Orlando, Florida has now had an NBA franchise for 35 seasons, and they've never won a thing. Of course, the NBA awarded the city the Orlando Magic back in 1989, and for a while, it looked like this franchise might legit take off. In 92, the Magic drafted big man Shaquille O'Neal out of LSU, and the Magic were an eyelash from actually winning a title. Okay, maybe not an eyelash, but they were close. In 1995, the Magic made it to the NBA Finals. They had the Houston Rockets on the ropes in Game 1. All they had to do was make some free throws. Unfortunately, Nick Anderson clanked some free throws. The Rockets came back and survived, and the Magic never recovered. It took all their air out, and the Rockets went on to sweep them in the finals. Okay, it happens. And then it happened again in 2009 when Dwight Howard led the Orlando Magic to the finals, but once again, they were knocked out by a much better team. They were beaten in five games by the Kobe Bryant Los Angeles Lakers. Well, the city of Orlando has now been waiting 35 years for a championship. And again, it doesn't look like it's going to be changing anytime soon. The Magic are okay right now. They're building. I guess they're getting better. Are they on the verge of a title? I don't think so. So enjoy your amusement park that charges like $200 a head. And enjoy all those disgusting tourists that you have every day, Orlando, because I don't think you're going to be having a championship parade anytime in the near future. The city of Orlando comes in today on our list at number four. We reach number three. And we head out west to another city that has never won a title. This is a city that actually wasn't the original city for this franchise, but they have now had a team since 1985. And they haven't really won anything. The capital city of California. Yes, I am talking about Sacramento, which is home to the Kings and the NBA. But remember, that isn't their original home. That franchise was originally the Rochester Royals back in the 40s. They actually won a title in 51. Then they moved to Kansas City and became the Kings in the early 70s. But they floundered. And then they moved to Sactown in 85. And they really haven't even been close to a title, to be honest. Of course, we remember in 2002, the Kings were involved in one of the biggest conspiracies in NBA history when they actually made it to the NBA Western Conference Finals against the Los Angeles Lakers, but in a Game 6 that truly felt nefarious. The Lakers were awarded 21 free throws in the fourth quarter alone, including one foul that saw Kings guard Mike Bibby assault Kobe Bryant's fist with his face. Kobe punched Bibby, and the ref called the foul on Bibby. Hey, it was bizarre. The Lakers went on to win the series in 7 games, and that was the closest that the Kings and the city of Sacramento have ever gotten to winning really anything of importance. In fact, in their 38 seasons in Sacramento, the Kings have only even made it to the postseason 11 times. They've never even made it to the finals. Now, the current Sacramento Kings, they're kind of a fun group, but are they close to winning a title? Probably not. The city of Sacramento comes in today at number 3 with a 38-year drought of not having ever won a title. We push on to number 2, and we go to one of the most beautiful cities in the world. It has some of the greatest weather all season long. It is an absolutely gorgeous place with great food and beautiful scenery. Maybe that is why the city of San Diego is completely cursed in the pro sports department. Of course, the Buffalo Braves relocated to Southern California, where they became the San Diego Clippers. But the Clippers never won a thing in the NBA, and they moved to LA back in the mid-80s. Okay. Well, the Chargers were kind of a fun NFL franchise for years. They won an AFL title, but they never won a championship in the NFL. They also bolted for Los Angeles. And then you have Major League Baseball's San Diego Padres, who have been around for 56 seasons and never won anything. Now, the Chargers made it to one Super Bowl in the mid-90s. Then they allowed the 49ers to break offensive records for scoring in that game. And the Padres have been to the World Series twice. In 1984, they were beaten in 5 games by the Detroit Tigers. In 1998, they were swept in the World Series by the New York Yankees. Adding insult to injury, not only do San Diego sports teams lose, they also leave. San Diego is an amazing place, but they've never won a championship. And while the Padres are at least solid right now, I don't know that any of us really think they're on the verge of a title. The city of San Diego has been waiting 56 years for a major league title, and that lands them today on our list at number 2. So we reach the number 1 city on our Daily Dose Top 5 that has been waiting the longest for a championship. And you know, when I made this list, I honestly came up with a few cities in my mind that I thought might land here. The city of Phoenix always crashes with the Cardinals and the Suns, but remember that the Diamondbacks won a title back in 2001. The city of Cleveland, of course, is a factory of sadness, but remember that LeBron James led the Cavaliers to a title in 2016. He also brought a title to the city of Miami in 2013. The St. Louis Cardinals won a World Series in 2011, and while you might think that the city of Detroit would land on our list today, remember, the Pistons beat the Lakers and won an NBA title back in 2004. So what city comes in at number 1 today on our list? Well, the city of Minneapolis just missed. But remember, the Twins won a World Series, so they don't quite make it. Well, our city at number 1 today is a city that honestly has probably felt more pain than any of the other cities on the list. They are on the opposite end of San Diego. Because not only does this city not win, they also have some of the worst weather on the planet. What is the upside for the city of Buffalo? Jumping onto tables, I guess? I don't know. The Buffalo Braves left for Southern California. The Buffalo Sabres were actually on the verge of a Stanley Cup back in the late 90s, but they lost to the Dallas Stars in the Stanley Cup final. And while the Buffalo Bills won back-to-back AFL titles back in the 60s, the city of Buffalo has never celebrated a major league championship. But it has to hurt more. Because, of course, we know those Bills went to four straight Super Bowls in the 90s. They came painfully close in that first one to changing history. But at the end of the day, they kind of fell off the trailer and landed on a burning table. While the other trailer park people burned and looted. That's just how it is. The city of Buffalo is in the middle of a 65-season championship drought. And I just don't know when it's going to end. And I'm going to be very honest. If it does end, I'm going to get real nervous. I'm going to lock myself into the Delios bomb shelter because the end could be coming for all of us very, very soon if the city of Buffalo does actually win something. Hey, next week on The Dose, I have something extra special for you. You're going to have to trust me on this, but I have a very special episode of The Daily Dose in store for you that you will not want to miss. It is of a historic nature, so be sure you tune in. And be sure you let a friend do the same. Hey, I want to say thank you to each and every one of you for listening to The Daily Dose every week. Thank you for the emails. Thank you for the texts. Thank you for the tweets. Thank you for going over to DailyDoseSports.com and checking out the new things going up there every week. But more than anything, thank you for sharing the show. Thank you for sharing the videos, for sharing the articles with someone that you know. We absolutely love it when you do that. Have to say thank you to JSP. Could not do any of this without you. I will see you all next Wednesday. Have a great week, everybody.
Cachet it had to begin with.
Oh, it's got cachet, baby! It's got cachet up the yin-yang!